up-to-the-minute coverage of marijuana votes across the country. You'll know the first results from Washington, D.C., Oregon, and Alaska legalization, Guam and Florida medical marijuana, California defelonization, and city and county votes on legalization, decriminalization, dispensaries, and taxes from Maine, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Mexico, Colorado, and California. With special guests, Normal's Keith Strop and Eric Altieri, Silver Tour's Robert Platshorn, Michigan Normal's Rick Thompson, Boston Pot Report's Keith Saunders, MPP's Morgan Fox, Leap's Diane Goldstein, California Normal's Ellen Comp, Washington Normal's Kevin Oliver, and 420 Radio's Herb Thrasher and Jennifer Alexander live at Oregon's Measure 91 campaign party. It's Marijuana Election Night 2014 on 420radio.org. Listen on the go by finding 420 Radio on the TuneIn Radio app for smartphones.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like that a lot.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Monday, November 3rd, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world and just less than a day away from legalizing marijuana in Washington, D.C., in Oregon, in Alaska. We got medical marijuana in Guam and in Florida. We've got defelonization in California, eliminating agricultural tax preferences for marijuana in Washington State. Two decrim votes in counties in New Mexico, 11 decrim votes in cities and counties all throughout Michigan, 2 legalization votes in Maine, 11 public policy questions in Massachusetts, 28 tax and dispensary options going on in Colorado, and 21 in California. Oh my God, there's 81 different votes we are covering. We're bringing it all to you live here on Marijuana Election Night 2014, taking place tomorrow at this time, this very time, this very station. Make sure you tune in because we'll be here bringing you at least 6 hours of live coverage for Marijuana Election Night. We'll tell you more about it coming up in Behind the Headlines today. Also, in Drug War Data Mining, we're going to preview the election, give you the results of the latest polls in the battleground states, what's going on, who's going to pass, who's not going to pass, what the predictions are, and we're hoping the best for all of them. Also on the show today, it's Monday, so that means it's time for our regular cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. He'll be taking your live cannabis questions on cannabis science, culture, history, and health. You can get into our chat room on Ustream or dial us live at 971-533-7111. Also on the show, we are joined by filmmakers Adam Hartle and Anthony Hashem. They'll be in the studio here talking to us about the movie Mile High, The Comeback of Cannabis. Gentlemen, welcome to the studio. How you doing?
Good, Russ. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. Anthony?
Good. Thanks for having us.
All right. Excited for the election, I hope.
Ooh, coming down to the wire.
Yeah, it's
like
crazy.
It's going to be a good one. You've been out to Florida recently, right?
Yeah, we're from Florida.
Well, right on. We'll talk about Florida and more when we get to that part of the show. Thanks for joining us, guys. Also on the show today, we've got our 420 Radio News in the headlines today. We've got the latest results on marijuana Halloween candy poisonings. All zero of them. Also, the Marijuana Policy Project's ready to legalize marijuana in Arizona. There are raids in California having some devastating consequences for the children. In Clarkston, Washington, a lawsuit to try to overturn a dispensary ban. And good news for the Pigskin Potheads fantasy team comprised of all marijuana players. Defensive tackle C.J. Mosley from the Detroit Lions is ready to be drafted. We'll tell you how he got busted for weed because he didn't follow the Russ Belville rule for hotel shower caps. Some of you know what I'm talking about. We'll talk about that also. We get a chance in hour two, Toker Talk Radio. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. Oh, man, we are excited here. I've been speaking with Anthony Johnson, the chief petitioner for the Measure 91 campaign. They're going to be having a big party tomorrow night at Holocene here in Portland, Oregon. Our own Herb Thrasher and Jennifer Alexander will be out there live bringing you the highlights. Plus, we've got an all-star lineup of marijuana reform experts who'll be calling in from various states across the country, giving us live results, analysis, and opinion about what's happening on marijuana election night. This is the place to be. Make sure you tell your friends. We've got a post up at RadicalRust.com that'll tell you all about it. You can forward that through Facebook, Twitter, and all the other social media. We're back with the radio news right after this. Thanks for staying tuned. Stick around.
Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest.
I'm Paul Steiglitter. I spent 30 years in law enforcement, beat cop to deputy sheriff, working 10 hours a day to protect and serve. Last year in Oregon, there were 13,000 citations and arrests for marijuana. Yes, on 91 will allow law enforcement to focus on serious crimes, unsolved murders, rapes, missing kids. Measure 91 also mandates that Oregon develop standardized tests for driving under the influence, which we don't have now. That'll make our streets and highways safer. Yes, on 91.
420radio.org presents Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink from Atlanta, Georgia. Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink is an animated show taking you back to the days of bell bottoms and roller disco, featuring the best funk, soul, and R&B music with your host, Big Daddy Fink. New Thursdays at 8 p.m. Pacific with replays at 5 and 8 Pacific Thursdays, and Friday nights a two-hour marathon starting at 10 Pacific.
In all my years on the streets, it's hard to recall a single time where marijuana use itself was the cause of a violent incident. As a police officer, I do believe that passing ballot measure 2 will allow law enforcement to focus on serious issues in Alaska. To me, the regulation of marijuana means safer communities. I'm voting yes on 2.
This communication was paid for by the Campaign to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol. Top contributors are Marijuana Policy Project, Drug Policy Alliance, and Thomas...
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, November 3rd, 2014. You're more likely to contract Ebola in the United States than you are to get marijuana-laced candy in your Halloween basket. Despite literally hundreds of wide-eyed press accounts last week of the danger of marijuana-infused Halloween candy, we are 3 days into November without a single instance of Halloween-related pot poisoning coming to light. On the other hand, two Americans have caught Ebola so far in the U.S. Denver was ground zero in media reports of a marijuana candy epidemic last month after Denver police released video warning trick-or-treaters of marijuana-infused candy. Yet, according to the Associated Press, quote, Denver police and the Rocky Mountain Poison and Drug Center on Monday reported no cases of people slipping marijuana to unsuspecting trick-or-treaters, end quote. In short, nobody has tried to poison kids with weed because poisoning kids with weed would be a dumb and expensive thing to do. The Marijuana Policy Project is ready to legalize marijuana in Arizona in 2016. MPP has filed paperwork with state election officials to form a committee to begin raising funds for a 2016 citizens initiative to legalize recreational marijuana use. Arizona voters narrowly passed Proposition 203 allowing medical cannabis use in 2010. Communications Director Mason Tvert said the group has plenty of support in Arizona despite the state's traditionally conservative voting patterns. Quote, it appears most Arizona voters are ready to adopt a more sensible policy, he said. There were a large number of supporters who got on board in 2010 and are ready to move forward, end quote. The Marijuana Policy Project's Tvert said if recreational use passes in Arizona, existing medical dispensaries could have first dibs on selling recreational products as long as the inventories were kept separate. Recent raids in California have destroyed an abundance of medical marijuana plants intended to treat children with debilitating seizure disorders. 2 weeks ago, a local narcotics task force raided a collective in the San Diego area, and similar agencies destroyed private farms farther north in Mendocino and Modesto in August. Susan Schindler, a Mendocino-based farmer and breast cancer survivor, began growing rare CBD strains of marijuana on her property 5 years ago. Each year, she gives away a large majority of her supply free of charge to families with epileptic children, as well as to adult patients with Parkinson's disease, ALS syndrome, and various forms of cancer. Although Schindler's growing operation adhered to California's medical marijuana law with 25 clearly labeled plots, she returned home on the afternoon of August 5th to find her entire farm destroyed. Neighbors told her it had been raided by a group of unidentified men in camouflage uniforms who descended onto her property from helicopters and began cutting down her plants without a warrant. A Clarkston, Washington attorney sued the city and four city councilors who voted to prohibit retail marijuana sales within city limits. And he did it in a Jedi costume. Rick Laws says the city's ban is unconstitutional. He filed the motion on Halloween on behalf of Canna for Life LLC, which is scheduled to open November 25th, provided the business can submit a retail marijuana license to the state of Washington. The moratorium on recreational marijuana sales within Clarkston city limits will expire at the end of this month. The moratorium's initial purpose has run its course, Laws said. Laws said he had a number of reasons for seeking a lawsuit against the city, including Clarkston's vote in favor of legalizing marijuana by a vote of 1373 to 1137. Detroit Lions defensive tackle C.J. Mosley was sent home from London last week after he was discovered with marijuana in his hotel room, according to ESPN. Mosley was suspended 2 weeks for violating team rules and conduct detrimental to the team, and Lions coach Jim Caldwell has repeatedly declined to elaborate on the circumstances behind the suspension. According to ESPN, hotel staff checked on Mosley after they were alerted to his room by a disconnected smoke detector. ESPN reported that Mosley has filed a grievance with the NFL Players Association seeking to overturn his two-week suspension and lost pay. Punishment for the drug offenses are collectively bargained and handled under the collective bargaining agreement. The Lions, at 6-2, are shorthanded at defensive tackle with Nick Fairley, another Lion to have been busted previously for weed, expected to miss at least a month with a sprained knee. Quick tip, Lions, when you check into the hotel room, get those little shower caps. They're plastic and they have elastic around them. They fit perfect over a smoke detector. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, November 3rd, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups.
I'm Pete Tupmark. I spent 33 years in law enforcement, from deputy sheriff to sergeant, working 10 hours a day protecting Oregonians. Last year in Oregon, there were 13,000 citations and arrests for marijuana. That takes time. Time better spent solving murders, rape cases, finding missing children. The system is broken. Measure 91 regulates marijuana for adults, so police have time to fight serious, violent, and unsolved crimes. It's about time.
Congressman Andy Harris thinks it's okay for medical marijuana patients to go to federal prison, even though Maryland passed a medical marijuana bill in April. On May 30th, Congressman Harris voted against an amendment to respect Maryland laws and protect Maryland patients. Why would Congressman Harris vote to send patients like this to prison? 72% of Maryland residents support medical marijuana. Is Congressman Harris out of touch with Maryland?
I'm Richard Harris. I directed Oregon's Division of Addictions and Mental Health and led drug treatment programs for years. I can tell you that treating marijuana use as a crime, arresting thousands for marijuana use, is a complete failure. That's why I'm supporting Measure 91. By regulating marijuana for adults and taxing it, we support drug treatment, prevention, schools, and police. Measure 91 means more treatment and less wasteful prosecution. It's a better approach.
Welcome back, everyone. 14 after the hour. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And of course, all we could talk about today would be Election Eve. We are one day away from probably the most momentous election in marijuana history. This is the turning point that will decide just how many states are able to move forward in 2016 during the presidential election year. A good turnout this year probably means more states in 2016 with better laws and a deeper impact on the presidential election as well. We're going to bring you 6 hours of coverage at least starting tomorrow at 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern, bringing you the results as the polls close across the country. Starting, of course, with Guam. We'll actually open our show with the results from Guam. The Guam results actually come in at 2 a.m. Tuesday, you know, tonight after midnight. So I will get those together and we'll open up with some news on whether or not Proposal 14A in Guam has passed to give medical marijuana to the people of that territory. Then at 3 o'clock, we're on with our regular show. We'll bring you the latest updates and news, voting, what's happening across the country. And then at 3:30 Pacific, our special guest is Normal founder Keith Strop from Washington, D.C. He's going to give us his perspective as a 40-year drug reformer and how he feels about the potential for legalization in Oregon, Alaska, and Washington, D.C., as well as medical marijuana in Florida. Then we'll continue on to the 7 o'clock hour Eastern Time, 4 o'clock Pacific. Stephen Gutwillig from the Drug Policy Alliance will be joining us to give us a preview of the voting going down and his take on what should happen that night. We'll also speak at 7:30, 4:30 Pacific with Norm Stamper. Norm Stamper is the former police chief of Seattle who will be doing a Reddit Ask Me Anything a half hour before that. We're going to talk to him about his Reddit experience and some of the questions that were asked of him online. Then at 8 o'clock Eastern time, that's when the first polls nationwide start to close. We'll be joined by Normal's Eric Altieri to give us a breakdown on legalization in Washington, D.C., widely expected to pass. Eric will tell us by how much and whether or not the incoming Congress, as it may be more Republican dominated, will or will not let that D.C. legalization stand. At 8:15, we've got Robert Platshorn, the Black Tuna Gang's Robert Platshorn, also from the Silver Tour down there in Florida, America's longest serving nonviolent marijuana offender, will join us to talk about the results from Florida. He's down there in West Palm Beach. He'll give us his perspective. At 8:30 Eastern time, we've got Rick Thompson in Michigan. He works a lot with Michigan Normal. He'll give us the rundown on 11 different locations that are having votes on marijuana there. And I'll give you a look. This is the big board that we'll be using for marijuana election night. And we'll be keeping track of all the states. So Michigan's down there. There's city decriminalization measures, 11 of them that we'll bring you the results of. Then we've got at 8:45, Keith Saunders, Dr. Keith Saunders from the Boston Pot Report, will fill us in on Massachusetts, where they've got public policy questions. These are where they direct their state representative as to whether or not they should support legalization. It's a weird thing that they do in Massachusetts. It's basically the people say that the representative should say, legalize it. And we'll give you the results of that. So far, they're very good on passing those, as is Michigan. That Michigan's got 16 cities that have already had votes like this. They're 16-0. So we will get that out to you. Also, at 9 o'clock, we'll start to get some returns back from Colorado in the Mountain Time Zone. Their polls close mostly at 7 o'clock Mountain. That'll be at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Art Way from Marijuana Policy Project in Colorado will be talking to us about the various votes. And there's like 28 of them in Colorado in various cities and counties for whether to allow dispensaries, whether to ban pot shops, whether to add marijuana taxes. It's very complex. We'll talk to Art about that at 9 o'clock Eastern tomorrow. At 9:15, Morgan Fox from MPP in Washington, D.C., and David Boyer from MPP in Maine will be telling us about the legalization votes in the two cities in Maine and follow up on Washington, D.C. 9:30 Eastern, Emily Kaltenbach from New Mexico, Drug Policy Alliance in New Mexico, will be filling us in on the two counties there voting for decriminalization. We've got former police chief Larry Kirk at 9:45 Eastern. He will be giving us a preview of Alaska. He's completed a 10-day legalization tour up there in the Great White North. And then we start to hit 10 o'clock Eastern time. We'll be turning things over to Herb Thrasher and Jennifer Alexander, who will be reporting live from Oregon Oregon's Measure 91 Celebration Headquarters. And that's right, I'm calling it a celebration. I believe we're going to win tomorrow. There are so many guests there that they'll be bringing to us live. I don't even know all of them yet, but we'll bring them to you at the 10 o'clock Eastern hour here on our 420 radio coverage. As we move into the 11 o'clock hour Eastern time, we are then getting about the time polls will close out here in the Pacific Coast. So we'll have the results from Oregon straight up at 11. 11:15, Diane Goldstein from Leap will fill us in on California's Prop 47. Ellen Comp at 11:30 will fill us in on the California medical marijuana dispensary and cultivation votes. Kevin Oliver at 11:45 with results from Washington and their ag tax vote. And right at midnight Eastern time, the results from Alaska.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
It's never the wrong week to quit smoking. You should take up vaporization. It's a lot better for you. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, Drug War Data Mining will catch up on the latest polls for the statewide votes. Who's going to pass? Who's going to fail? We'll find out when we come back. Radio, turning red states and blue states green.
At the age of 10, I was diagnosed with bone tumors growing outwardly on most long bones of the body. I could tear a vein. Clot could break off, go to your heart, your brain, your lungs, and you're dead. Medical cannabis has saved my life. I was fortunate enough to become a federal patient, and I've not had a tumor, a new one, develop since I was 21 years old, and I'm now 61 years old. What we need to be able to do is get other people off disability that aren't able to hold down a job because they're on different medications that give marginal results. On November 4th, Florida voters will have an opportunity to do the right thing. So please vote yes on amendment.
420radio.org is proud to replay Hemp Beach TV with Blazy and Max from the Secret Hemp Beach. Blazy and Max bring you the best festivals and events from all over the country in this weekly show courtesy of Hemp Beach TV. Entertaining video and lots of fun for the 420 friendly party crowd. Catch the replays Friday at 12 Pacific on 420radio.org. It was a nightmare scenario last May for one Southern Oregon woman. It's 4 in the morning and someone's trying to break in.
911 emergency.
My ex-boyfriend is trying to break into my house. He put me in the hospital a few weeks ago and I've been trying to keep him away.
But because of budget cuts, the sheriff's office is only open during weekday business hours.
I don't have anybody to send out there. See, if he comes inside the residence and assaults you, can you ask him to go away? Or
he did break into the home, and he did rape and choke this woman. Meanwhile, it was announced that the Oregon Sheriff's Association made a $100,000 donation to the campaign against Measure 91, the initiative to legalize marijuana. So there's enough money to protect people from marijuana? But not rapists? Measure 91 devotes 35% of tax revenues from marijuana sales to state and local police. Vote yes on Measure 91. A message from the Russ Belville Show, not endorsed or sponsored by the Measure 91 campaign. Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining. All right, welcome back, everybody. 23 after the hour, and we're going to take a look at the four nationwide marijuana election votes and the polls that we have leading up to Election Day. We're going to start with the medical marijuana in Florida. And in Florida, we've got Florida's Amendment 2. And according to the compilation here at ballotpedia.org, things are not looking good for Amendment 2 in Florida. Now, I do have to issue a bit of an apology in reporting this, because I've been reporting and kind of complaining about how Florida went the constitutional amendment route rather than the statutory route. You know, with the constitutional amendment, they need to get a whole 60% rather than getting just the 50% majority. Well, my bad, because I failed to remember that Florida doesn't have a statutory initiative. They couldn't have gone statutory. They had to go constitutional amendment. So they do need 60% to pass there. These are the most recent polls dating from August through October. And of the 60% they need, only two polls
three polls, excuse me, one showing a 69, one showing a 67, one showing a 62, are coming in favorable for the medical marijuana. The average of the polls since August has been 57.3% to 33.9%. That bodes for a possible 58%, which would be great, but it wouldn't pass as a constitutional amendment. Some of these Survey USA polls, which are sometimes considered the most accurate, beginning of October, was as low as 51%. Gravis Marketing in October 22nd, as low as 50%. Keep your fingers crossed from Florida, and if you got any friends out there and you haven't found out if they voted yet, make sure you do, because we're going to need every vote we can get in Florida. Now, taking a look at polls in Alaska, not much on the polls from Alaska. The most recent polls, Dittman Research and Ivan Moore, showed completely different results, with Ivan Moore showing a 57-38, about a 57-37-38 kind of thing, whereas Dittman Research almost flipped it at only 43% support. But the polls earlier than that, going back to July and May, showed 44-49 and 48-45. That's giving us a 48-46 average with 5.8% undecided. That's a pretty large measure of undecided people. So it's all going to come down to whether or not young people vote in Alaska, the young people that support this measure and could get it passed. Will Charlo Green, the Alaska TV reporter who said, "Fuck it, I quit," on the air, will she bring those younger voters to the poll? Did she cause enough awareness of this among the young people in Alaska to make this happen? We'll find out tomorrow night late on our marijuana election night coverage. Now, looking to the polls in Oregon, polls are looking very good in Oregon with the most recent poll that's not shown. Oh, yes, it is. They've got it. The Survey USA poll. The most recent poll from Survey USA shows 52% support to 41% opposed. This seems to be pretty consistent. DHM earlier in the month had 52-41, and Survey USA in June had 51-41. But there have been two polls that have shown only 44% support, Survey USA in September and KGW the Oregonian just recently, just last week. We did, however, criticize that poll from KGW Oregonian because it polled 70% of its respondents above the age of 50. There's no way 70% of the electorate is going to be over the age of 50. I feel the Survey USA poll is the most accurate at this point at 52%. Averages of the polls are 48.6 to 41.8 with a 9% not sure. Again, the get out the vote effort is crucial in Oregon. And we are a vote-by-mail state, so young people, if you couldn't have been troubled to find a stamp, then shame on you. We need to get this legal, and I think Oregon's got a good chance of that happening. And finally, to round out our look at the polls, the Washington, D.C. initiative on ballotpedia.org shows us polls from the Washington Post and on pot decriminalization. These are the legalization polls most recently. Only one poll back in September at 63-34. Very strong polling in Washington, D.C., and most informed observers believe that Washington, D.C. is almost a shoe-in, just guaranteed to pass. We'll be surprised here at 420 Radio if it doesn't garner at least 60% support. Now, understand that the legalization in Washington, D.C. is just legal possession and cultivation. It does not include pot shops or any sort of sales or distribution mechanism. That might be coming next year.
420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get hot.
Our daughter Rebecca could have a seizure at any given time that could take her life.
When you have 200 seizures a day, she gets so scared.
I've learned a lot about the benefits of medical marijuana in the treatment of intractable epilepsy in children. We feel her saying to us, "Mom, Dad,
help me.
Mom, when is this gonna stop? Why don't you, my parents who love me, do something?" And we can't.
Please help us help our daughter.
Our daughter Rebecca needs all options for medical marijuana, so please vote yes on Amendment 2.
If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic, so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana, less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
Treating marijuana as a crime in Oregon has failed. Police are spending way too much time working on simple marijuana possession cases. Too many people are being busted. Oregon wastes millions of taxpayer dollars while illegal drug dealers are making a huge untaxed profit. But after Measure 91 passes, we'll have a better approach, a smarter approach, like what's happening in Washington, where marijuana-related arrests have plummeted. Oregon police will be able to refocus their precious and limited resources on serious crime, and Oregon's Measure 91 can save and generate millions of dollars. Oregon needs a better approach to marijuana. Vote yes on Measure 91, paid for by Yes on 91.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everyone. Half past the hour, and we're visiting with Dr. Mitch from SUNY Albany. How are you doing, Dr. Mitch?
I wish I were moving to Oregon.
I bet you do. I know a Minnesota normal guy who's moving to Oregon and having dinner with him tonight.
Oh, well, give him my very best. I think that's a great move on his part.
Yeah. There's going to be a green rush out here to Oregon. I'm sure of it. Of course, we're talking about the election tomorrow, Measure 91. And Dr. Mitch, as well as being a researcher and author on marijuana, he's the chairman of the Normal Board of Directors. So this is like, you know, Christmas Eve, New Year's, and 4th of July rolled up into one, isn't it?
I got to admit, I'm actually more excited about this than any of those holidays.
Fantastic. Well, what do you think about the chances as we're going into these into the election tomorrow? I know Washington, D.C. looks like a lock.
I mean, D.C. looks great. Oregon looks great. Keith Strepp wrote a great thing trying to lay things out this morning. But I want to just emphasize the optimism here and that everybody should go out no matter what the polls say, because we really got an important message to send. And polls have been wrong before. The famous Dewey defeats Truman headline is something I would love to see yet again, so we could hold up some great headlines and tell the pollsters to to lump it.
There you go. I think also we had a great youth turnout in 2012 in Colorado and Washington. I think maybe the pollsters underestimate how much marijuana will bring young people to the polls. You teach the young people. You're amongst the youngsters. How are they feeling about this?
In fact, we're having a big voting drive right on campus, and there are more opportunities to vote on campus, and I think that has had a big impact. And so I've done everything but basically offer extra credit for folks to go ahead and vote.
Fantastic, Dr. Mitch. All right, so I want to remind folks you can get your questions in to our chat room. If you got a question on cannabis science, culture, history, or health, get it in or call the number on your screen, 971-533-7111. Like to open up by giving Dr. Mitch the first word on the latest in cannabis science. What's up, Dr. Mitch?
Well, a very cool abstract came out from a bunch of researchers from various areas across the country, including UCSF, basically looking at middle-aged folks and their exposure to marijuana and how it relates to cognitive functioning. And as you might guess, cigarettes are markedly worse. And it turns out that lifetime exposure to marijuana really didn't have any impact on the cognitive functioning in a really large sample, over 3,000 participants. And even having used in the last 30 days only seemed to have a negative consequence for one of a whole host of tests. And to tell you the truth, I think it's a type 1 error. I think it's just a statistical fluke.
All right. Well, good news in that survey. Any flaws with this survey as far as what our opponents?
Actually, no, this is really well done. A huge sample and reasonable assessments of lifetime use because it's been a longitudinal data set, and good statistical controls for alcohol and illicit drug use. And no surprise that alcohol actually does contribute to the cognitive functioning. So I think all in all, the key thing is to stay healthy and stay away from cigarettes and too much alcohol.
Jeremy Daw writes in the Leaf Online, and he's been covering that trial going on in California where they're getting into the constitutionality of Schedule One. Dr. Carter spoke, Dr. Carl Hart spoke. Have you been following that trial, and what are some of your thoughts about it?
I've been in touch with everybody and actually been doing a lot of behind-the-scenes work. I was sorry I couldn't go out there myself and testify. It's been extremely impressive. Dr. Carter is, you know, just one of the greatest guys to ever walk the face of the earth. He was super, super detailed in his presentations and made it crystal clear that the notion that Schedule 1 requires no approved medical use is clearly faulty, and that it requires a high addictive potential was also faulty. Dr. Hart echoed that with really consistent use of some of the same references as well as some novel stories and experiences. If you haven't seen Carl Hart, too, he's this wonderful-looking African-American dude with giant long dreadlocks, and the lawyers were doing everything they could to try to discredit him and had absolutely no luck. They had Dr. Carter up there for 15 minutes trying to get him to fess up to smoking pot, and he literally said, "Hey, I was in college in California in the 1970s. As if this were somehow relevant, though, and I feel like the fact that the attorneys for the other side are grasping at straws like this kind of tells us how hard up they really are to maintain the idea that marijuana belongs in Schedule 1.
I think Dr. Carter's been picking out lines from Newt Gingrich. Wasn't that Newt Gingrich's line? If you were alive in the 70s in college, you had to have smoked pot? Something along those lines.
Exactly. And Dr. Carter has markedly fewer divorces than Newt Gingrich.
Yeah, markedly. Don't we all? All right. There's a study that I came across. It was on Halloween, of all things. And it really struck me because of how our opponents like to characterize medical marijuana. Oh, they're just getting it for pain. It's just pain. This study says they polled 35,000 American households and found that significant and debilitating pain that endures for 3 months or more is now a common feature in the lives of an estimated 39 million Americans. Overall, 19% of the adults polled were deemed to have experienced chronic and severe daily pain. And that didn't include people that struggled with arthritis, back, or joint pain who only had it, you know, occasionally. Wow, that's pretty amazing.
And it's wild because this is saying a lot about, first of all, how our health care is in general. So we're simultaneously experiencing these rises in pain for reasons that I can hypothesize about, but also incredible pressure to stay away from the opiate meds. So physicians are actually apprehensive about prescribing opiates for fear that they're going to essentially get busted. And we know one of the best ways to keep opiate use down is, of course, to have cannabis as an adjunct treatment. And, in fact, opiates do tend to lead to tolerance and dependent symptoms rather rapidly, so anything we can do to keep those down in the treatment of chronic pain is going to be helpful. Finally, I think it's easy to underestimate how chronic pain can really affect just your individual attention, your everyday functioning. It's really, really outrageous. If you can imagine having a toothache or any other time you've experienced a bad pain and waking up to that every single morning, you have a glimmer of what some of these people are going through, and I feel like this import can't be overestimated.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because one of the authors of the study, I highlighted this quote just because it smacked me upside the head when I read it. He says, quote, and he's referring to the fact that the U.S. consumes 80% of the world's opioids, 99% of the world's hydrocodone, and he says, quote, "Those medications are wonderful when they work, but on average, they only relieve about a third or less of the chronic pain people experience and may be completely ineffective in treating some kinds of chronic pain. Also, the drugs don't do anything to tackle the emotional, mental, and behavioral aspects of pain management," end quote. I'm thinking, gosh, if only there were some sort of non-addictive pain remedy that also worked well for tackling your mood and emotional state.
I mean, there you have it. Nobody gets an emotional rise out of hydrocodone after about the third day. And fortunately, the tolerance to cannabis is not along those same lines.
Oh, my goodness. It's just amazing. And that stat of using, you know, 80% of the world's opioids, either we're in much more pain than the rest of the world, or we're more addicted than the rest of the world. What's the explanation for that?
To tell you the truth, we're in a total lap of luxury. I'm sure any country that could get access to the opioids the way we do would be happy to use them at the rates we do. They simply just don't have the availability.
Okay. Another study that came out recently, this was highlighted on the New York Times, October 29th. This is Your Brain on Drugs. And it was another one of these, Dr. Gilman working at with researchers at Harvard, studying the brains of 20 pot smokers and doing the scans on them, finding evidence of structural differences and so forth. We've talked about these brain scan things before, but did you see this latest one in the New York Times?
Amanda Ryman had emailed it to me, and I mean, they did a reasonable job summarizing. We have to remember that every time they do these scans, they look at literally dozens and dozens of locations, and so every time you look at one, you've got about a 5% chance of finding something. So if you look at 20 different places, of course you're going to find at least one that shows some kind of difference. The fact that it was structural, too, that's a relative rarity, so clearly we've had at least four studies I can think of before that's suggested no structural changes, particularly folks who don't start until adulthood. So I'm not going to make too much about any single study, particularly one with a sample size as big as 40.
Yeah. All right. And a couple of quotes here from some of the all-stars. Dr. Volkoff from the National Institute of Drug Abuse says that we're seeing significant increases in ER admissions with marijuana use, and it's because the marijuana is so much more potent these days.
Nora, I don't even know what to say when she talks anymore. What a surprise. You're now allowed actually to say that you've used marijuana when you're at the emergency room without basically getting slapped with an outrageous confrontation with police officers. So people may be more willing to mention that. But I really don't think this has anything to do with the potency of cannabis or the frequency of use.
And then we have a follow-up from Alan J. Budney from Dartmouth Medical School saying that the higher potency accelerates addiction. You don't have to work so hard to get high. Easier to get high means more vulnerable to addiction, which explains why there's so many more tequila alcoholics than beer alcoholics, I guess.
Well, this is now the third school, Alan. I mean, the fact that he moved to Dartmouth was news to me, and he's really making a lot on the marijuana withdrawal and marijuana addictive potential and getting a lot of federal funding for this. So in many ways, this is what he has to say. We do have some data to suggest that stronger concentrates may lead to more tolerance to cannabis, and I think that there's, you know, something to be said for that. But you'll notice that nobody sits around and smokes two whole joints anymore the way they did in the 70s, and I think actually increased potency just means less exposure to respiratory irritants and smoking less, not these outrageous increased rates in addictive potential. Ironically, the DSM-5 has now changed the definition, so we won't be able to easily compare things to times back in the day, and so I'm really apprehensive about what's going to happen with these new estimates when people try to say, oh, now marijuana is more addictive than it used to be, when in fact the definition of addiction is no longer what it used to be.
Yeah, and that was something Dr. Hart pointed out in those in the trial deposition there, wasn't it? Where the guy came at him with DSM-4 and he said, you know, there's a 5 now.
I just thought that was so elegant. That was perfect.
That's wonderful. All right, folks, we got to wrap things up. But if you've got a question for Dr. Mitch, you can always send it in via email at 420research@gmail.com. I assume you'll be out there on the East Coast staying up late, checking out marijuana returns all night, huh?
I'm actually going to be getting a nap in the middle of the day, so I will be up late with everybody.
All right, looking forward to it. Good luck on everything. Thanks, Dr. Mitch.
Thank you.
All right, when we come back, we're visiting with filmmakers Adam Hartle and Anthony Hashem. They're with the movie Mile High, The Comeback of Cannabis, back from Florida. They're from Florida. We'll talk about Florida and more when we return. You're listening to 420radio.org.
Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization.
When my brother and I were little boys, we ran and played together. He was paralyzed from the chest down when he was 18, the worst day of my life. His pain and spasms are unbearable, and no drug has ever helped him. Only medical marijuana has allowed him to live a meaningful life. Drug makers are telling us lies to keep billions for their companies. So many really sick people will benefit if you vote yes on Amendment 2. This is for Tim, my hero. Please vote yes on 2. Compassion is coming.
the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Walter's my friend.
Walter is not your friend.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
If you go,
I'm telling Mom.
But you're my brother.
I don't care. Walter does drugs and you ain't going.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com. As marijuana moves into the mainstream, more filmmakers are taking a look at all aspects of cannabis culture. These days, marijuana movies are about more than hiding from Sergeant Stadenko or trying to get to White Castle for the munchies. Join with us as we explore the latest in the cannabis cinema. All right, welcome back, everyone. 46 after the hour. And joining us in studio, we got Adam Hartle and Anthony Hashem from Mile High, the comeback of cannabis. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
What up, Russ?
Thanks for having us.
I'm so glad to have you here. It's great to have people in the studio. And you've also got your crew with you.
Yep.
We're filming here. What are we filming for?
Josh and Matt. We're documenting the movement. You know, we were the only film crew there live in Colorado when it passed. And we put into a film. It came out phenomenal. And so we were there live. We just think it's fun. We want to be there every 2 years and kind of just help the movement along. So we're inviting everybody for free tonight to the Academy Theater, 7 p.m. Go there. If you mention the name Russ Belville, we'll give you a shirt, a hemp t-shirt.
Mention Radical Russ. It's easier to remember.
Radical Russ. You get a hemp t-shirt. It's awesome.
All right. Tell them Radical Russ sent you. You get the hemp t-shirt. You couldn't ask for a better deal. Now, the film, Mile High, The Comeback of Cannabis, that you're showing tonight, you know, Mile High, that suggests Colorado, right? It's all about Colorado.
Yeah.
Tell us a little about it.
Yeah, we spent the week of the election in 2012. We spent kind of that whole week behind the scenes with all the activists and the people, you know, Brian Vicente, his whole team. They kind of wrote the bill and got the whole thing started. And they were gracious enough to just give us full access all week. So by day, we spent the whole day interviewing those guys. Filming everything, and then by night, Adam did stand-up comedy, and we filmed that and hit the streets, kind of partied, did street interviews. So it's a good mix of sit-down, highbrow interview with a little bit of edgy comedy and just a good social.
That's the long
social
answer.
Documentary.
The short answer is: by day we smoke weed, and by night we smoke weed, and by all day we just film shit and ran around and ran around Colorado the week before the vote, and it was awesome.
Right. So you're here now, much, filming right? Filming before our Oregon vote.
Yes.
Then.
Rinse exactly. And repeat. You know, right. Same thing. Having a great time.
Now you're out of Florida. We also got a vote going on in Florida.
Yeah.
How has the campaign been down there? I mean, you've been living through it down there. What's it been like?
It's been up and down.
Yeah, I helped get some of the signatures for it. You know, and I know a lot of the guys down there. We'll see what happens. I mean, there's still a lot of fear-mongering that works in Florida, unfortunately, and there's a lot of money going against it, so fingers crossed. And they got to get 60%, so it's going to be tough.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Now we voted.
But you're lifetime Floridians?
Yep, pretty much.
Born and raised in Jacksonville, Florida, both of us.
How about the rest of your family? How do they feel about these measures?
It's tough. You know, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that. My family hasn't seen the movie. They haven't asked about it. We're
the black sheep back home.
Definitely. This is not mom and dad, it was kind of ashamed by it, you know. It's not, because it's just like his mom put it best, you're doing a drug movie, you know. Yeah. They don't get it.
Yeah, it's
you
rough.
Know, it's so it's,
but they're great people. I mean,
yeah,
it's,
of course.
And but now that with it coming out and having some success, it's gotten a lot easier, because it's gone from my son that's doing the drug movie to that's my son in that magazine, or that's, you know, my son in those theaters. So
well, that's
so
cool.
I appreciate you giving a voice to us. That's cool.
My pleasure. Hey, and Jacksonville, northern Florida, right?
Northeast Florida. The northeast coast.
Yeah, I've heard the farther north you go in Florida, the farther south you get.
Yeah, it's like it's flipped like the United States, where the north is pretty red and the south is blue.
Yeah,
and then but there's good and bad with all that. You know, we're independent, and I always vote libertarian. So I got a lot of things on the left I agree with, a lot of things on the right. And I think it's a shame that what gets people to the polls the most is, let's make sure that I got other guys to become the president. Because
it has the least to do with what goes on in your own neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly.
So a lot of times these, you know, little sleepy midterm elections are the really stuff on the ballot that matters the most. But just like he said, we're wrapped up in, you know, what a certain, you know, the president thinks about a certain issue that's not even decided in the federal level anyway, you know, like states' rights, you know.
And it's funny. You're right. More people turn out for the presidential election when, in fact, the president isn't going to have as much effect on your day-to-day life as your city council.
Yeah, we should be you know, paying attention to that.
I always counsel younger people about, you know, there was a time in the 60s when the conservatives were completely on the outs. And how did they get back in? They started winning school board elections and city council elections. They built from the bottom up. And I just don't understand how young people won't embrace that and maybe start their own bottom up movement, and how they think voting doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The corporate this. And I think
the one thing
you can do a corporation can't is vote.
Is vote, exactly.
That's the one power you have they don't have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the world we live in.
So this, premiering this film, Mile High, the comeback of cannabis, what's the release on it? Where can people see it? Is it online as well?
We're still in theatrical right now. So it's theatrical. We just sent to Netflix, so we're being reviewed by Netflix, which would be cool if we can get on there. So that's you know, the long-term plan, but pretty soon it's going to be shown everywhere. Hulu, Netflix, that whole thing.
Excellent, excellent. Mile High, the comeback of cannabis, and then you'll have this 2014 movie for Oregon.
Yeah.
Do you anticipate maybe a 2016 in California?
Yeah, we were thinking about that. You know, we kind of just like to film everything and just see how it can develop. So this might be like the middle of the movie, and then the 2016, we might go to California and be the end of it, you know? So
kind of the trilogy.
Like, well, we were thinking about maybe doing like all in one, just kind of, you know, we like to just kind of go year by year with it. But we're not sure what we're going to do. We just like to have fun, and we think it's historical, so we want to be there for it and document it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we've been chilling here in the studio all day. Cannabis is a part of your lives, obviously.
Right.
When did that start for you? Was there a particular time you remember the first time?
For me, I guess it was a little maybe later in the whole, generally when you start to smoke. I was probably 19.
I was 16.
You know, because a lot of people say I was done with it, you know, and after high school, to where I really started in college, you know, in college age, which I think for me was good, because it didn't, as soon as I smoked, I realized, okay, this is cool, you know? So I was never like the 13-year-old little stoner kid running around, you know?
If done responsibly, it's a very powerful plant. It has a million benefits. I think it makes you smarter. And a lot of people say that the debate is whether it's bad for you, kills brain cells, or doesn't. That's not the debate. It's whether it has no effect or it makes you smarter.
Yeah.
That's the debate to me. Mm-hmm. So I think if you can kind of, you know, avoid the outside noise, whether it be, you know, just some mindless TV show or something that makes no importance in life whatsoever, and you can just kind of focus on things and let your mind be open to different ideas, that the plant can open up parts of your mind that can, you know, be real creative and receptive to those kinds of things. So
for sure.
Now, you mentioned you do stand-up.
Yeah, I love stand-up.
I get to talk to a lot of comedians who use marijuana, and there seems to be, there's like some that say, yeah, I can do stand-up high and I can write high. There's others that are like, oh, no fucking way.
Yeah.
where are you on that spectrum?
You mentioned that.
That's a great question. I'm still in the... like I can do it now. Like I just learned how to do it. funny. It's like I just was at that threshold, because the first year and a half was no fucking way.
Sure. You write high. You write high.
We're always right high. 100%
of the time. But yeah, you.
But now I can light up and go do it. Yeah, we did that last night actually.
Yep.
Which is pretty fun. So we had a great time. We write as a team. And Nathan and I've been best friends since high school. And you know, we've been smoking and we've started successful businesses and the whole thing. But our rule is, if we both think it's funny, then it's stage ready. So we'll get high, we write together, and then you know, I'll perform it, and he'll laugh or not laugh. And if we both like it, then it's got to be good.
So you both write, but only you perform it?
Well, it's actually a multi... we also use visuals with our comedy, so I'll tell a joke, and there'll be a visual behind me. And so he's working the slides behind me, and there's videos that go with it. Yeah.
So it's kind of a produced,
kind of
interactive
comedy
show.
Exactly.
It's all timed up.
And it's social issue based. You know, like a lot of comedians, you know, coming up, like older comedians will give you advice, tell you to stay away from politics and, you know, religion. And we just go right for that kind of stuff. You know,
love
so our
it,
show's
man.
There, you know, it's definitely
we want you to learn and laugh, but we want to push it.
I always like the comics that had a certain set of jokes that were only for 10% of the people. They knew that, okay, I love this joke.
Yeah.
It's a great joke.
Yeah.
Only 10% are going to get it.
That's right.
I'm going with it anyway.
For sure. Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. And then that 10% will laugh harder than anybody else, too, a lot of times.
There you go.
Yeah, it's fun. I love comedy.
So if folks want to get in touch with you guys, you got the Twitter and the Facebook and all that stuff. Give out the contacts.
Yeah, you can go to www.milehighfilm.com, and there's a trailer for our movie there. There's also a contact there if you need to contact us for any reason. And come out tonight, 7 p.m., the Academy Theater. It's going to be fun as shit. It's going to be a big party. You should come out and see this movie. It's really, really good.
Where's the Academy Theater? Let me see.
Southeast. I don't know. We'll
find that real quick here. Academy Theater.
That's the one thing I don't do is smoke and drive, so I'm not driving.
78th and Stark. Oh, I know exactly where you're at.
It's really cool.
It's a cool neighborhood over there. It's a pizza joint next door.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's actually, they have rental hot tubs.
I saw that.
The rental hot tubs.
I wondered what was up with that. I wonder if that was like some kind of subliminal.
And they actually have a kids babysitting area too. Like, if you, I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can watch your kids and go check out a movie. It's cool.
All right. Academy Theater tonight at 7 o'clock. You can find information and tickets and movie times at academytheaterpdx.com. And again, your website.
MileHighFilm.com.
MileHighFilm.com. We're speaking with Adam Hartle and Anthony Hashem. So tomorrow night, are you going to be at the Holocene
party?
We're
there. Yeah, we're rolling hot.
Yeah, we're going to be rolling cameras on the hopefully what's going to be a celebration, and just go hard all night, and hopefully we can.
Yeah, maybe go smoke some weed and celebrate afterwards or something. That'd be fun.
Oh yeah, I think there's a very strong likelihood of that happening. I would almost count on that for sure. So as we round things out here today, just wondering again about Florida. You're going to film here in Oregon, and we'll have this great celebration, and the weed will be flowing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to go back to Florida.
Yeah,
it's got to be tough to score. It's got to be tough to watch for the man. I mean, is it weird to go from freedom to paranoia?
Yes.
I compare it to time travel a lot of times. Yeah. It's like
we're heroes in Colorado and villains in Florida a lot of times.
We get that
a little bit.
I just feel like, you know, we've been to the future and we see how it can be. So that's a big part of our activism too. Like, I really didn't get bit by the activism bug as much until I really got out there and saw the reality of it, you know? And I saw these successful people who can say that they're weed friendly, and
they're doing it.
Yeah. You know, back home in North Florida, it's a different overall mindset. So we've got
21 grams is a felony in Florida.
Nuts. That's crazy.
Yeah.
21 grams for me is like a week.
Sure.
It's a week's supply.
we're smart about it. You know, we're not out smoking and driving and stuff. We'll just do it at each other's house and have a good time and write comedy and, you know, that kind of thing. So,
all right. So at home, getting ready to chill. Is it joint, bong, vaporizer? How do you roll? What's your favorite?
I'm vape, you're pipe.
Pipe.
Yeah, I love the vape. Yeah. I love it. I think it's just cleaner and I love it.
I don't mind the taste of the plant. I like to.
The one we're on the road.
And you roll a pretty good joint. I saw you roll that up on the shoulder.
Yeah.
You're doing all right.
I like the vape the best. When we're on the road a lot, we're just doing pipes because you can't like pack your big vaporizer and fly to Colorado. You just got to go and get a pipe somewhere.
Yeah,
and,
get
you know,
a quick
so every time we're on film, I'm always smoking out of what I actually don't usually smoke on.
Yeah.
But the vapes are awesome. But anything that gets you high is fine. I'll smoke out of anything, you know, shit.
What's the weirdest thing
you
ever smoked
out of? Weirdest thing? I mean, we did a Coke can on the line, which I don't suggest Coke cans. I think it's bad with the aluminum and shit.
Some vegetables, you know, some
vegetables.
Random, you know.
I smoked marijuana out of a cruller once.
Out of a what?
One of those jelly-filled donuts.
Jelly-filled. Yeah.
Poked a hole on one side, sucked the jelly out, and then when you smoke through it, it had a raspberry
taste.
You get
the flavor,
taste.
Sure.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's nice.
Oh, man. All right, so check out Academy Theater tonight, 7 p.m., Academy Theater PDX for showtimes and tickets, Mile High Movie.
Yeah, and it's free. You got to come out. It's going to be awesome.
MileHighFilm.com.
MileHighFilm.com for more information on these guys. Adam Hartle and Anthony Hashem, Mile High, the comeback of cannabis. That's all the time I got. Thanks, guys, for joining us. Appreciate it.
We appreciate having us, man.
And have fun at the Academy Theater tonight. We're going to stick around for hour two. Toker Talk Radio is up next. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. More stories on the back burners. Plus, we'll talk more about elections and our coverage and anything else we can think of. For everyone here at 420 Radio, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers. About to plant the mother hand grow.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes.
Tune in to 420 Radio.